Good afternoon and welcome everyone today to our G Capital Investor Meeting. Today's meeting will be webcast and available for replay. All that information can be found on our website at www.g.com/investor. We're going to start with a presentation from the team today and then follow with Q&A, so please save your questions till the end and we'll have plenty of time. And following that, for the people in the audience here, we'll have a cocktail reception with our leadership team in the fine establishment outside, so looking forward to that. Today's session will be hosted by Vice Chairman and President and CEO of G Capital, Mike Neal, and several members of his leadership team that Mike will introduce as we go through. As I have to say, today's meeting is based on elements that are forward-looking and based on the world as we see it today. Those elements can change, so please interpret them in that light. We're very excited to talk to you today about progress of GE Capital and where we're going. And with that, I'll turn it to Mike Neal to kick it off. Thanks.
I'd just like to start off by thank you for coming. I know the weather's not that attractive today, but at least it's not freezing to anybody's forehead, and that's a good thing. We may have some people kind of drag in a little bit late because of that. I'd also like to thank Diageo. This is not our space, their space. We're in the next building over. We don't have a room of this size. But I did want to tell you that all of the nice wine and liquor and ale and whatnot out front, that's theirs, not ours. And I told a member of my team that after the last few years, if they were ours, they'd probably be empty. But I'll start with this and just walk you through. We have a lot of people here to talk today, and then we'll answer any questions that you have. So I hope that you'll find this comprehensive. That was our plan. Some of the things you'll hear today, the message is business is really pretty strong, and we think even more competitively positioned than we've ever been. This market has been difficult for us, but it's been really difficult for some of the people that we compete against. And so we have been gaining share, not so much because we're doing anything too aggressive. It's just that there are people leaving the market. There are customers that are more underserved than perhaps they were. Earnings growth, I'll show you in a minute. 2011 strong, and we expect that to continue into next year. The returns of the new business are actually quite exciting. I've been with the company for 33 years. Best returns that I've seen. I don't know how long that lasts, but for today, the new biz volume that's coming on is well priced. I'll show you in a bit. Losses are good. Credit costs are getting close to pre-crisis for us, so that's a really good thing. We continue to strengthen the balance sheet, liquidity funding. We work hard on diversification. We'll talk more about that. Kathy's here. She'll talk about it. Real estate is getting better and actually quite a bit better, and we'll show you that. Mark is here. Mark will talk about the real estate business. Capital levels, we believe, are well in excess of where we believe things may settle out. We don't know for sure yet. We'll show you some slides on that, but we feel pretty good there. Having said that, we don't know for sure where some of these things will settle out, but we feel good about it, and we're well on track. We told you over the last couple of years that the plan was to shrink ending net investment to $440 billion by the end of next year. We're getting close to that and actually running a bit ahead. So I think in general, for those of you who listened to us last December, the things we said then, we've mostly done or maybe done a little bit better. And and you'll be the judge as you follow us through the deck. This is the first three quarters of the year. Pretty good. Earnings up 131% for us. Now, that's coming off of a lower base, but still not bad. 4.9, just under $5 billion net for the first three quarters. Loss and impairments improved by almost 50%. So, again, we feel good about that, and we'll talk more about it. And then our own book volume up about 16. And probably the most exciting thing about that is that's a nice number. It's double digit, but the pricing is pretty strong. And we'll show you that here in just a second. You've seen a variant of this chart, I'm sure, in the past if you followed us. But this is what we do. We think we have deep industry knowledge, expertise. We call it verticals. We have people that are really kind of nailed down to just one or two things that they do. They do energy. They do aircraft. They don't do both of those things, and we're in the middle market, great space for us, really kind of more equipment leasing, equipment financing, mid-market, that's what we do. Strong risk. Both Jeff and Ryan Zanin will take you through how we've done through the crisis. I think you'll see in most cases we've actually outperformed on that dimension. That's going to be part of our pitch today, and we'll let you be the judge. We do match fund. That serves us well. We're pretty good at working out of issues. In fact, we're very good at that. And the committed, knowledgeable. We have direct origination. I've talked about it for the last 25 years that I've done these things, and it matters. And we're continuing to add people on the front end. We don't have branches. We have people reps, professionals like the ones you saw in the commercial, in cars calling on CFOs. It's our people, it's our document, it's our products, it's our underwriting, and it serves us well. So total volume up 15, total volume versus book. This includes things like factoring in Europe, whatnot. But again, the probably most important number on this is the bottom right. New business ROI is 3+%, and that's very, very strong for what we do for a living. There's a lot of reasons for it. It's a little less competitive. Some competitors are gone. One of the bigger drivers of it is capital markets that were finding ways 2006, 2007 to flow straight into our customers, just not there to the way it was before. And as you probably are aware, when capital markets connect directly to an end user, there's not a lot of margin left in that transaction. That's why so many people did so many risky things, and it's one of the reasons we ended up where we did. I just thought I'd show you this. Jeff will show it again in a minute. We're different than banks. We say it a lot. I'd like to show you maybe here, you know, where that is. If you think about us, we're kind of 50-50 U.S. Versus the rest of the world. Banks tend to be 80-20, and again, these are averages, and that regional banks, in most cases, 100% U.S., so we're a more global firm than many of the people that you probably track. We're also weighted two-thirds commercial, one-third consumer, where most banks are just the opposite. So our weighting is more to the middle market commercial accounts than the consumers. And then we have a little bit different book of business. We have energy financial services that's doing project financing. We have some equity products. And, again, Jeff will talk about that a bit, but a little different than the banks, and I just thought that might be helpful as you try to understand us better. Verticals, we have two. We have actually more than two. We have two really big ones, but, you know, as I was reminded today as I was going through this chart with some of our people, the healthcare vertical is now as big as the energy vertical. But these are businesses that are great. They're great in their space. They have great connection with the industrial parent. GECAS, largest, 1,738 aircraft that they own and manage. Around the world, they deal with 235 different customers. There's 300 airlines in the world we cover, nearly all of them. 235 we do business with. I will tell you that the top 100 are about 70% of the market. I usually get this question, so I'll go ahead and answer it. We have one aircraft on the ground right now, a 737-700. We're not particularly concerned about that. Business is doing well, earnings north of $1 billion. EFS, energy, it's a business we've been in for a very long time. GE Capital's been in it. For over 30 years, the parent of the industrial company has been in for over 100. Earnings are strong. We think this is a great space, whether it's for the industrial side or for the financial side. It's a space that that we feel, well, we just like it. With the business has done very well for us. We've earned $4 billion of net income in this business since 2004. So it's a long-term player for us, and we think it's an area where we have deep domain. Mid-market, Dan Henson's here, and he'll talk about that at least from a North American perspective. But it's really who we think we are. These are the companies in the middle, not the little companies, not the large corporates. This is our space. We're the biggest in this area by a margin. It's 195,000 businesses, fourth largest economy in the world. If you look at it just based on the mid-market in the U.S., 41 million jobs is where a lot of the jobs are created. And we're just all over it, equipment finance, inventory finance, direct lending, sponsor, healthcare. You can see the numbers in terms of volume, the new book returns, and the earnings on this are pretty good. In fact, if you go back to the 7 numbers, we had a large gain in that year. So if you back that out, they're running at a rate this year about where they were in 2007, which was a terrific year for this particular business. Retail finance, this is our North American, well, really today, U.S. consumer business. Margaret Keene's here to talk about it. One of the things I'm going to try to have a little fun with today is that Margaret and Dan are within nickels of each other, being the biggest net income producer. So I, if any of you can help me with that, I'm trying to get them to. We've got 3 weeks to go in the year, but just having a great year. A good space for us. We've been in it since the 30s. We know it. We like it. We got an advantage here because most of the large competitors backed away from this space after 2007, so that gave us better pricing, better underwriting, better contracts, better position, and we have strong domain. We have 250,000 retail outlets. It's self-funded, 75% of it, through the FSB and through securitizations, stable earnings profile, great year going this year, and strong retail partnerships. We just won another one last night, but Margaret told me if I talked about it, she'd kill me, so I won't. But a good business, and she'll talk more about it. And so if there's a foul-up on that, Margaret, it can be yours and not mine. This is how we're thinking about next year. Pretty modest, I think. We've dialed in core growth on assets of 6%, so nothing nutty with that. We're not unaware of the world that we live in. Pricing levels are pretty good. Underwriting standards are pretty conservative. That won't change. Conservative liquidity plan, Kathy's here. She'll talk more about that. Continue to work non-core assets. We've been running them down. Again, ahead of plan, another $15 billion for next year. We're going to launch a direct deposit retail. We've done it in other parts of the world. We haven't done it in this country. We're going to do that very soon just to give us more diversification in terms of how we fund the business. We've got a bullet here on Europe. You know, Europe, there's a lot going on in Europe. And I would just tell you that we're prepared to be opportunistic in Europe if the right thing presents itself. I'll also tell you that it'd have to be very attractively valued for us to get into that. Otherwise, we'll just go at this through the core. And then we're continuing to add salespeople. So maybe a lot of people are going the other way. Just in the U.S., we've added about 200 new reps this year as we continue to try to, you know, fill voids in the market. Having said that, things could get worse. You know, we don't predict the world. Hard to know what's going to happen. But if it does, you know, we've got levers in the business as well. We have great experience in the last couple of years. We can reduce E&I further. We can goose liquidity more. We can be more aggressive on cost. We, you know, the business that I'm talking to you about today versus 2007 has $4 billion less base cost in it. And so we know how to do that. And we can further tighten underwriting and hurdle rates. And maybe Jeff, Kat, the others will talk a bit about Europe, but we're all over Europe. We measure it, we look at it, we're on it every day, and we'll see how that all plays out. But that's, we're positioned, I think, for a world that it's very hard to predict. In terms of the future of the business, this is where we were, this is where we're going. Slightly smaller consumer platform. This is up to the end of next year, 440 of E&I, 20-30% consumer, 2% ROI. Probably on the lower side of the range on real estate, so smaller there as well as we continue to run down, particularly the equity book in that. The vertical businesses, the businesses that are linked to the industrial parent, to continue to goose that. We think it's really our sweet spot. And then this whole mid-market. And by the way, when I talk about mid-market, we're going to talk a lot about the U.S. today. We have the same thing in Asia. We have the same thing in Europe. We don't have those people here today, but we'll use the U.S. as a proxy for that. So we think it's the right strategy. It's consistent. It's what we've been talking about. We're well on our way to doing this, and we feel pretty good about it. So winning specialty finance platforms, and there really aren't very many others anymore. Probably won't be for maybe a long time. Select consumer, real estate, smaller verticals with advantaged positions, and a great position in mid-market. High returning scale positions in markets that matter. If Jeff were here today, he would talk a lot about growth in the emerging markets. From a GE Capital standpoint, we're mostly developed markets and probably always will be. Most of our earnings, Australia, Korea, Japan, North America, the big places in Europe, some Central Europe. But that's kind of where we operate. Safe, secure capital structure, it is today. We plan to keep it that way. We also have, in our planning, the dividend. I know we'll probably get a lot of questions about that today, but in our planning is to restart the dividend for next year. But we obviously need some approvals to do that and then continue to strengthen the industrial connection to the business. But we hope to make you like our earnings, and we think we can deliver for investors for this company. So that's what we'll be talking about today. So here's the lineup. Have Jeff up, Jeff Mornstein. We'll go through financials. Kathy will take you through funding and liquidity. Ryan Zanin, I don't know if you all know Ryan. Ryan took Jim Colica retired. Ryan is our new chief risk officer. He'll talk about risk. Bill, our chief operating officer, will go into kind of how we're thinking about growth and how the business is doing. And then we kind of break it out. Dan will talk about CLL, commercial lending and leasing in North America. It's one of our very biggest business. Margaret will talk a bit about the consumer business here in the U.S. We'll have a real estate update from Mark Beagle, and then I'll come back and wrap, and we'll be glad to answer any questions that you may have. So with that, I'll turn it over to Jeff.